Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here is your host, David Swope.
Good morning and welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7. And guys, what a week we had. I mean, the Couch Potato Car Show on Tuesday, it's just blowing up. As a matter of fact, we're going to go ahead and extend the voting because normally we announce a winner, but there's so much, you know, I want everybody to get their vote in. So we're going to extend it to the end of the day so we get some more votes. But we're going to talk more about the show and the international flair that we had in it. But let's talk a few things local. First off, RJ, and you know, welcome this morning, Spencer, but
Thank you.
RJ, man, when's your next podcast? Because didn't you go like 13-3 last week on your picks?
It was a pretty good week for me, that's for sure. And one thing I love about the podcast, I know everyone talks the game, but it's like, I had proof, man. It was out there. So it was a good week.
Scoreboard.
It was a good week. And actually, right after the show today, I'm going to record my shows for the Sunday events that are coming up. So, good games to watch out for.
Well, I tell you, the Browns game was, pretty exciting. I almost threw that thing away. And then, it would have been rung on the Bills if your Raiders wouldn't have pulled that out at the last minute. I mean, what a miracle shot, bro.
I honestly think, I mean, they're actually trying to talk about conspiracy theories of how the Jets are trying to lose because you never blitz in that situation. And he could have made the first throw and actually make it to Aguilar. So actually two chances, wide open receiver and just made the win. So a win counts, but that was a tough one to swallow.
Hey, where are people going to check out your podcast, man?
So I post it mainly on Facebook, but anywhere you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor is where I record it. And it's the Can't Stop Sports Podcast, all about NFL news. And coming into the NBA season, we're going to talk a little more into division rankings as well. So,
wow, I can't believe the NBA is already coming back. But, hey, let's talk some, Unser Racing Museum event calendar. Of course, we know that, Drag Strip, didn't actually open the season, so we're hoping for 2021. Sandia Speedway, of course, you got the Lights of Enchantment. But Votto, I noticed that you've got an opening date on the calendar.
Yeah, they released their 2021 schedule. It's on their website at Votto Speedway. And it's everything's planning where the opener, they want it on February 20th. So, of course, that can change or whatnot, but everything, right. They have pretty much their whole schedule of events that are coming up. So a lot of places are going to start posting them now, and hopefully we're going to keep y'all updated on what's real and what we can look forward to in the 2021 season.
Hey, Spencer, the New Mexico Motor Racing Association, have they have any races on the Votto calendar?
We have six right now, and we just got completed with our board meeting last night. We have some fun things coming pretty soon to hear. For 2021, including an engine rule that's going to go out for voting for everybody. But yeah, looking at six races at Votto Speedway this next season and really looking forward to getting back down there. Unfortunately, they were another one of those tracks that were unable to open this year due to COVID-19. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see everybody starting February 20th down there.
Well, that's fantastic. And Are you guys going to be involved any with that Power Eye Wing series that's coming?
You know, there's two different Power Eye series here in New Mexico. We have the New Mexico Motor Racing Association, which is the longest standing non-wing association in America. I just learned that a few days ago.
Oh, wow.
And then you have the Power Eye Wing series, which is the new series. And we recently talked to Adam Mollenkopf and Chad Tensky about that. That's their new series. But we're going to work hand in hand to make sure that those schedules work out to where folks, if they wanted to, they can see sprint car racing every single weekend in 2021.
Well, and if there was a way to do a two-day show like they're doing, that might be a template going forward, to where, you know, you could have a wing and a non-wing show,
you know, for some really good shows, for some good points.
Absolutely. So, I think that would be a dream, for promoters and drivers alike. I know a lot of people, would probably throw a wing on or vice versa, take a wing off to, make that 2-day show happen. So really kind of ears out right now, trying to get in contact with all the speedways and figure out, exactly what everybody's tentative plans are for next season, since everything's still a little bit up in the air. But if anything happens, you know that we'll break it right here on the New Mexico Motorsports Report.
Well, and of course, you're going to do wing and non-wing at the shootout. How much difference is there in taking a wing on and off in a micro sprint versus a sprint car?
You know, it's really track dependent. When we're over there at the River Spirit Expo Center here in a few weeks, it's not going to make that much of a difference. For one, we're indoors, so you don't have any wind gusts that you'd see outside. And two, it's a really small track. It's a quarter mile dirt track oval. And you just, you don't see enough speed for it to really matter. I think the biggest difference would be going non-wing to Winged Outlaw, which has a larger wing, on top of the cars. So you definitely see a little bit of a difference there, but fans won't really notice too much, from the grandstands at least. And you can expect pretty good racing in every single class, that's gonna be down there. And I know that, it's actually on the Unser Racing Museum event calendar now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad to see that added, and it's coming up at the end of this month and into the new year. Got to ask. I mean, the Chili Bowl follows that up a couple of weeks. Starting to hear some great news out there. Of course, Kyle Larson's been, I mean, what a ridiculous season on the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to drive the number 5 for Hendrick. But his the champion is talking about coming and racing in Chase Elliott. What do you think you might be able to, do you think Chase is going to adapt pretty well to it, or is he going to have to, you know, come up from, you know, like, you know, several mains back in order to try and qualify in?
Well, think about when you get to a big event like the Chili Bowl, it's so hard to predict anything. Even the best drivers can find themselves back in a M or N or O main,
right,
fairly easily. So, you know, it's difficult to gauge. Luckily for Chase Elliott, though, I know that him and the Chase Briscoe team are going to attend a midget event in North Carolina here in the next week or so to have some prep work for the Chili Bowl, and then they can focus everything on the indoor season there moving forward. But really looking forward to that. I know that I just saw online that Chase Elliott just picked up his Butler-built seat today from Butler Built over there in North Carolina. So he's really excited about it, and I'm sure that everybody in the NASCAR and dirt world is excited to see exactly how the reigning NASCAR champion can do. But back to the museum event calendar, RJ, what do we have for car shows, man?
So the only car show that we have going on, December, of course, is kind of when it's slowing down, but this is actually more of a cruise that's going on. It's lighting up Route 66. It's actually going to be Saturday, December 19th. So everyone's going to meet up at the Herrera couches and on Central. And then on from 4, they're going to roll out at dusk, and they're going to decorate their rides. So you could kind of see all the lights and everything, kind of get everyone in the holiday spirit from the west side to the east side. So it's a cool event, another cruise that's going on, and it seems like it's going to be one of the later ones of this season, but still stuff that's going to come up for sure here in Albuquerque.
So I had heard, and, you know, I mean, you always hate when somebody starts a sentence like, I heard. But I heard that that PNM River of Light show, that they were talking about taking those displays and putting them on Central. Have you guys heard that? Or, I mean,
I just heard asleep.
That.
No. Have you heard, RJ?
Not that I know of, except, I mean, however you kind of spread it around, and people do go to travel to see that.
Yeah.
So if you could spread it around and have more people see it, I mean, why not?
Okay. Well, I know the mayor listens to the show. So, great idea. You're welcome to run with it, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure he's probably still asleep. I mean, I would be. Wouldn't you guys be? But anyway, Formula One. I mean, we had a Formula One race. There's one left to go. Of course, you had, George Russell. Sorry about that. George Russell jumps into by far, the best prepped car, in Formula One, because he just got in there and drove away. Now, what was interesting was how they put the wrong tires on at that pit stop, because, of the way they came in, back to back. And I tell you, they looked like a bunch of monkeys. I mean, they looked like they had no idea what was going on. I mean, he was whipping Bottas. And then after that, he still kind of drove back up, but losing Verstappen in turn one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to see another fireball crash. the way that thing was going. But what a crazy race. And Sergio Perez with his first victory without a ride next season.
I know that, and that's the key word right there, Dave. Without a ride going into the 2021 season. That's the best thing you could do, though, as a driver that doesn't have for a ride.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't have a ride going into next year, you know that your number one goal is to pick up a victory. And for Sergio to pick that first victory up, I know that that was such a sweet feeling for him.
I have no idea how many races it has been. We didn't call Tom McKeon, probably should have before I said this, but have no idea how long it's been since there was not a Mercedes car on the podium. That was absolutely phenomenal. So, good for them, for taking an opportunity when Hamilton is out. And of course, he'd already, won the championship. So, he could take that time and it didn't cost him anything. So, hope he's doing well. But we got a whole lot more coming up in the show, including we're going to catch up with Ian, Russo, the, host of Full Custom Garage. We'll have the full-length interview. We had him on the Couch Potato. And, of course, in the final segment, we're going to actually talk about the Couch Potato Car Show and all the cool cars we had in it. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio.
101.7 The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Brian Urlacher. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Smoke on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope, ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
All right. Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And I had the Couch Potato Car Show on Tuesday. You can still go to Facebook go to at Couch Potato Car Show and actually check it out. We've probably had as many people view it after as we had watching it, which was an actual phenomenon to see people asking the poll questions when it's not even live.
I know. I guess afterwards we have to put a little previously recorded sign on the corner of the page, but it was a great time out there. I know, yeah. RJ was out there, you, and of course our friend Andres Trujillo. We had so much fun this last Tuesday and really, really counted down some international cars this time.
Oh, exactly. And so we caught up with Ian Russo with a Full Custom Garage on MAV TV. We caught up earlier in the week. And of course, we had Henry Winkler as the bumper, and on the out, we're going to actually have Butch Patrick, who is also known as Eddie Munster. All of this goes back to the Super Nationals. So here's the interview I did earlier in the week with Ian Russo with Full Custom Garage.
Thank you so much for joining us. But, hey, with the COVID-19 and changes, a lot of the local guys have been taking the quarantine time to actually work on projects in their car, in their garage, which is what you do on a regular basis. How has this COVID time kind of changed what you've been working on?
Well, it really slowed down our production for sure. I mean, I'm a one-man show, so it doesn't change much for what I do, but, it's given me some time to get into my own projects, which I never really get to focus on. I'm always working for someone else. So,
what is maybe some of the personal projects you've had? Are you stuff around the house or other vehicles?
Well, I'm working on my shop. If you look around here, you can see I'm refreshing everything in my own personal shop. So this is the first time I've ever actually like owned my own thing. I've always rented for the past 20 years. So I'm about 2 years into this house project, and I'm finally getting to work on my own workshop, you know, the forever workshop.
Right. Well, and one thing that's changed for us, of course, we met you back in January, late January, at Super Nationals here when 35,000 people went to an event. Now in New Mexico, we can't have more than five together. So it's pretty amazing. But, you know, I've been watching some of the projects you've been working on there, including the one that's behind you. You said it's getting ready to get picked up.
Yeah, it's been in storage for, about 2 years. You know, he messed around with it a little bit, but basically the fellow who owns it, he has a lot of projects. He's a collector, and he's like, you know, why don't you hold on to it if you want to take it to a show? And that never happened. So,
right.
It's ready to make a move. It's currently for sale also.
Oh, excellent. So,
He's always buying and selling stuff, and like I said, he loved this project and he invested in it. So,
well, and of course, is this the first virtual car show you've ever participated in?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, nothing live is going on. I was booked for 2020 for a lot of appearances.
Right.
Zero, nothing. You know,
wow.
I went to Tulsa in February, and that was the last of it.
Yeah. So, in your career, custom building cars. What are maybe some of the biggest takeaways that you've seen with the local guy that wants to go and work in his garage? I mean, what are maybe some simple things that you do that he could translate into using?
Well, I guess, you know, it's always just the hands-on, you know, a friend put it to me like this. It's like high skill level, low technology, right? So if you have time to kill, maybe just pick up a hammer and start banging some metal or whatever, you know, something you might think was a little intimidating at first. Just, hey, spend some time doing it.
Yeah. Hey, is there a way to kind of keep in contact with you during the COVID shutdown?
Well, for sure. I mean, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I communicate with a lot of people that way. I mean, that's the thing. It's like my Instagram's been a little bit slow lately because, hey, I'm putting a roof on the shop, right? That's not so exciting as doing some cool car project, but it's given me the time to take care of a few things that I really need to attend to.
Awesome. Hey, so how long have you been building custom cars? I mean, did you start as a little kid?
Oh, shoot, yeah. I'm 50 this month, and I've been doing it
since
I was 15. Thanks. Just turned a big 50, so finally grown up, maybe, a little bit.
Well, we definitely don't want to grow up. What was your first project?
Volkswagen Bug, 1972. It was Grandma's car. It was all rotten and rusty, and my dad was like, if you could put that thing back together, you could drive when you're 16.
Well, and of course, you were here in Albuquerque with a bubble car. Who were some of your inspirations?
Oh, on the Bubble Top project, of course, Ed Roth,
yeah.
Daryl Starbird, you know, Gene Winfield. So, those were the big three, George Barris, of course, and so many others. But, yeah, all the legends. I was inducted into this Hall of Fame for West Coast Customs, of which all those guys are members. So that was a super big honor.
That's absolutely fantastic. With kind of this, you know, newfound inspiration with working on your garage and other types, has there been other things that have kind of piqued your interest? You know, maybe working on different types of projects, maybe even furniture?
Yeah, well, I've always been, you know, doing art pieces, et cetera, but living out here in the desert, it's got me into off-roading big time. I've always been a fan of, like, desert cars, but I've never owned a four-wheel drive, so I'm making this pretty radical 4x4 project.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are you you're basing it on a Jeep platform, or what type of off-road?
No, it's a Ford Pinto.
Oh, wow. We're going to look forward to seeing that. We'll definitely check in with you on that.
I'm walking around the shop. I'll give your audience an exclusive view of the Pinto. I'm outside. My slab has just been poured. I don't know if you can see it, but
yes.
I got a Ford Pinto there.
Yep.
I got a Dodge Power Wagon chassis over there, and I got some 40-inch mud tires over there. So, yeah, thinking about things. All these projects are going to be on our new season of Full Custom Garage, too. So they're in the queue back there.
When's that? I mean, do you have any anticipated date of when that's going to start?
Oh, yeah. Well, 2020 slowed us way down. Let me find my spot again. 2020 slowed us way down with production, but MAV-TV, they've always had the new episodes. I think they're coming out just around Christmas. It's coming up. We have 5 new episodes.
Oh, that's fantastic. And
They're in the can. They're edited, and they're just waiting to be broadcast.
That's absolutely fantastic. And so do you have any anticipation when you might be able to get out and do appearances again, or is that still kind of wait and see?
All up to, yeah. I know there's some some live public shows going on, but it's all about the promoter and, like you say, whatever, wherever it is, whatever the authorities are saying.
Right. Well, and of course, car shows have been, you know, greatly impacted, you know, because they still want people gathering. So we've got into a lot of cruises around here. Has California been kind of, I know you guys have gone through some significant lockdowns. I mean, you've had fires, you had all kinds of stuff going on out there this year.
Yeah, fortunately, I live way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, truly, I'm way out, and it hasn't affected me personally at all. Los Angeles, I know it's been chaos, but as far as where I'm at, no difference. Same day, different project.
I always got the feeling you kind of liked your personal space, like, you know, almost spend more time communicating with your dog, communicating with the car.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the thing about being self-employed, and, you know, other pro fabricators will probably feel the same way. There's nothing like just being in your creative zone. That's really what I've geared myself towards.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for joining us for a little bit this morning, and wish you well, wish you safe, and look forward to seeing you on the TV soon.
Right on, man. Yeah, that Albuquerque show is great. I can't wait to have it again. We're booked with Reggie whenever he puts it back on, so we'll be there.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for your time. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Good talking.
All right. That's Ian Rousseau with Full Custom Garage. Hey, we got a really cool next segment. If you've ever wondered about custom glass, how you deal with, a cracked glass on like a 23 Model A or something like that, you want to stay tuned for Glassman Steve on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio.
101.7, the team.
Hey, this is Butch Patrick. That's right, Eddie Munster. And you're listening to David Strope on ESPN 101.7 on the New Mexico Motorsports Report.
ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team with David Swope, the fastest radio host in the West.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And, of course, you know, we love talking cars on here. And I have to tell you, I made a mistake the other day. I cracked a window on the 52 Ford mainline.
No, Dave.
And I was terrified. I mean, because we're raffling that car off. We've already sold some raffle tickets, and I'm like, oh, my God. And so I started asking around, and I said, man, where can I get glass like that? I mean, it was like 10 people told me, only one dude. His name's Glassman Steve. So we're excited. We've got Steve Guzman in the house. Glassman Steve, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thank you very much for bringing me, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as we were talking, you know, he came over and helped me get the glass out on the main line. It's a dying breed, man. I mean, you do this stuff by hand.
Right. Right. You know, how I started was there's a gentleman called Joel Lucero. He's been cutting glass for over 50 years. So he turned around and took me by the hand and said, look, you want to learn? I'll teach you. The first thing he told me was, don't run from it.
Now, does he mean don't run the glass or don't?
Don't run from the job. Don't get scared.
I'm sure some of them are pretty intimidating, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you were showing me some pictures, and we're going to do an interview where we can share the pictures at some point in the future. But,
right.
I mean, some of those glass, I mean, even look like some negative angles. I mean, how many pieces have you broken? Probably.
You know, you break a lot of glass. You know, but once you get used to it, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to understand it's glass. It could break it at any time, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how we take it upon it. You know, you cut yourself, you know, put a piece of masking tape and keep on going, you know. That's how we do it day by day.
Well, I was blown away by the variety of things you do because of course, I know with the 52 that was, you know, very unique. But you were showing me pictures of like large equipment that you were doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of met through, you know, John Snyder, and John Snyder's the owner of the car. But God, talk about that. How do you get those huge pieces of glass?
Well, what you do is we just buy a big sheet. A big sheet could be anywhere from 6 feet to 12 feet long, 7 feet tall. And what we do is we just square it up, turn around, square it up and polish it and cut it and make sure you install it in the vehicle. Then you know what? Heavy equipment, some of that stuff is really big. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you need two or three guys to help it on, you know. And like I said, it all started with, you know, Joe Lucero. He's the one that taught me how to do it. Yeah. Don't run from it. And we just keep on doing it.
Well, that's fantastic. Because you were telling me about that one. It was like a $3,000 piece of glass, you know, from like Germany. And I'm thinking, you got at least $3,000 in shipping to get it here.
Right.
And they got a local guy. You could just pick up the phone and call you.
Right. And that's for one of those big heavy cranes. Probably the biggest crane that's could be on the road in North America at a time. And that windshield is over 8 feet long.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, well, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, can you kind of walk us through the process of how you get to fitting the glass, and then actually, how do you cut the glass as well? Because I've always been interested in that.
Well, you only need two tools to cut glass. You need a pair of pliers and a glass cutter.
Okay.
You know, and usually safety laminated glass, so you got to cut it twice. So if you say if it's eight cuts, that means you still got to flip it over to the other side and do the other eight cuts.
Wow.
So you're talking about 16 cuts.
Wow. What does the average job take? I know that you do a lot, pretty big range of things. From small cars like what you were doing with Dave to the big crane that you were just talking about. But what do you think the average job takes?
You know, to do a completely old car, like say right now I'm working on a 39 Chevy. You know what? If you just close the door and really concentrate in that car, it'll take about a month.
Wow. Interesting.
Wow. And so I called you the other day because I was needing you again. I got the 74 running. A lot of you saw it on Facebook. Got the Dart running. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, you don't look at all the things you need to do on the car, until I'm driving it home going, hey, there's a crack in my front windshield. I had forgotten completely about that. I had a 74 Dart and I called you and you looked it up in your book and there was one in town. I mean, that's right. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. There's several, manufacturer dealers that in town that have it, and then there's a couple of really good ones that have vintage glass, so usually you could purchase it, you know. And then like your car, the Dodge, you know, the rubber, you know, yeah, the gasket, you know, you could, there's a bunch of gaskets on the internet, but you know what, you go to buy it right to get good quality rubber, you know, you got to buy the best stuff, you know. Sometimes it's not cheap, but you know, you get what you pay for, but at the same time the quality,
yeah,
you know, that's the main part, the quality of the glass and the workmanship.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things about you, too, is you don't just do vehicles either. You do businesses as well, right?
Right. I do a little bit of commercial, residential, heavy equipment. You got a hole with a busted glass, I'll fix it.
Well, and I deal with a lot of residential glass as well. And,
exactly.
It's interesting when you get into, you know, ovals, octagons, all that type of stuff. I mean, you really need some expertise. Have you ever dealt with any, like, stained glass either?
No, but I have bought some glass from a company in Colorado because I made some lenses for an old 29 Model A car, and he wanted special lenses. So what I did was I bought a piece of red lens, and I cut it out to put it in that tail light.
Okay. That's fantastic.
What's the most difficult shape to cut?
Anything, you know. once you take a chance, you're committed. You know, it could break a straight line. Anything, but you know, circles, they got pattern cutters to cut circles. It just depends on the person, how far he wants to go or what he wants to do.
How do people get a hold of you?
You know what? Everybody gets over by word of mouth now. You know, yeah, to the point where I get a lot of my business, like 60% of my business is from other glass companies.
Yeah.
Glass shops in town. They'll say, you know what? You need to call Steve. You know what? You need to call Steve. We buy glass at a couple places and we all meet together and they say, Steve, I got one for you. Hey, Steve, I got another one for you. You know, that's how I do it, you know. I'm busy, you know, and I do a lot of work, and at the same time, I love what I do.
Tell me about that panel truck you got.
Oh, my God.
The Glassman Steve
truck. Everybody knows me about my panel. It's a 59 Chevy panel truck. Has a Camaro front clip. It has a 350 with a little cam, R700 transmission with 83 IROC posi rear end.
Wow. that is mean.
And then it has the disc brakes. And then I also have, for the carburetor, I have the Sniper. And so it's airbagged.
Awesome. Wow. And, into panel vans, or when you got in the business, you thought,
you know, that was my first truck. That was my first glass truck. I used to turn around and go and pick up my glass. We do heavy equipment. We would go to Santa Fe on that panel truck and go do the job. But we would do the job, complete it, come home. Then finally, you know, the glass just started getting bigger, and then my work was getting, more demanding. So I turned around and upgraded to a newer van. So that's when I did mostly the additional, work on that panel. So now what I do with the panel is I take it out, and everywhere I go, you know, there's a theme with my wife is that she tells me, how are we going? I said, we're going to go either on the Harley or the panel. And I tell her, we're going to take the panel. And she tells me, I don't want to go on the panel. She goes, and I go, why? Because you're like the ice cream man. Everybody wants to stop you. So that's what happens, you know?
Well, that's interesting because, when I drive the 52 around, everybody honks and waves, you know, I mean, they just, love it, which is, you know, New Mexico. I mean, this is the best place for you to live, you know, to do this. I mean, because there's, we don't have the weather issues where we're rusting cars out, and cars just live forever.
And that's true. You know, over here in the New Mexico, the dry climate, you know what? It's nice on these old cars. You know, it's beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. And in New Mexico, it got the weather, you know, the fall, the spring, all four seasons, you know, this is the place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one last time, how would people reach out to you?
You know, I'm in the internet under Glassman Steve. You look under me.
Perfect.
Usually, my van and my panel that has my name and my number. And usually if you just go to anybody with a car that looks like they have some work done, they say, where can I get glass done? They're going to say, go talk to Steve. This is the guy you
got
to talk to.
Well, I know that's how I got to you. As, you know, I had at least 10 people tell me, you were the only guy. They're like, you know, don't even call anybody else. But, hey, thank you for coming on this morning.
Oh, you guys, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. We've got a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio.
101.7, The Team.
Hey, race fans, this is NASCAR team owner Coach Joe Gibbs. You're listening to David Swope on the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team.
This is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500. You've been listening to David Swope of the New Mexico Motorsport Report on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team. And, of course, you can go back on Facebook Live. We can go back on Facebook. It was live when we did it at Couch Potato Car Show. And check out the Christmas show that we did on Tuesday. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out to Yearwood Performance and those beanies. I noticed,
those are awesome.
I noticed you didn't bring it in. You're afraid I'm going to snatch it off your head.
Well, I heard you make that comment about punching me in the throat and then taking it, man. I got
that was on
Dress's
idea.
Yeah. But, hey, since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been your home for Go Fast Parts. And, of course, they've got some of the best hot rod Christmas gifts you could possibly get, including not only do they have the masks, they also have hoodies and, of course, the beanies hot off the press. Jim Costa brought in, last week. But, the Eds, they got the knowledge of what to use and how to use it, fuel injection, ignition systems. Hell, they got superchargers in there now.
I got everything.
You can go pick one up. But, in case you're missing some racing fuel, so before you head out to, the shootout, you better make sure you got some racing fuel. New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance over at 341 Eubank. That's just, south of I-40 on Eubank. Buy local, save time and money, yearwoodperformance.com. And we got to talk about that show. One,
yeah.
Jason Rockwell was on there with his American Chopper. Came up a little short on that dream, but we tried to help him out with that. Of course, Ian Rousseau we had on there. A ton of great giveaways, including, you know, that great mug that Taryn did. Talk a little bit about how to reach out and her company real quick.
Yeah, so the Holy Grail Boutique is locally owned and operated right here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she specializes in tumblers, and now she's also doing car scent things, those little...
Really?
They used to be little pine trees. Well, yeah. Now they could be anything you want. I have a sprint car one downstairs that's black ice, and it smells so good.
Wow.
So, yeah, she does little car freshies now, but her main business is tumblers, custom tumblers, any style, any size you want. She'll take care of you, so go ahead and visit them on Facebook at the Holy Grail Boutique.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Of course, she's got a little fundraiser going for you for the shootout, but let's talk about, I mean, these cars. We said earlier, we went international on the show. We ended up having a 71 Plymouth Scamp from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I loved, you know, that you were like, well, what's the AB stand for? You know, because you were thinking it's from a state, but from Canada.
I'm amazed we aren't talking about my pot puree.
Well, we know, maybe we'll get there, but it's funny because, you know, that's one of the keys to our show is we've got three different generations there, right? You know, between you and RJ, and then, you know, Andreas in the middle and me, the old dude. So, we just got different perspectives, different likes in vehicles as well, mm-hmm. which brings it to it. But for us to, go as far north, as to get into Canada, and also you brought in a car, from Hawaii.
Oahu, yeah. That 1968 Chevy Chevelle Malibu.
That was phenomenal, which you can see the picture. We had a little technical issue on the show, but you can see the picture on the gallery for Couch Potato. And then we go all the way over east to the Hamlet, which we're trying to decide, does that mean that there's 10 people or less that live there? The Hamlet of Maple Corner, Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
So we really covered the whole United States. And likewise, we kicked it off with a holiday decorated 2014 Jeep Wrangler, the Guardian, that's just here in Rio Rancho. All the way to finished up the show with Travis Oldfield and his 2017 Ford Mustang GT from here in Albuquerque. But in between, we even had that rock formation that was a 1929 granite Model A, with a waterfall on it. Just a variety of cool stuff, but, you know, hot rods, we had a couple of blowers, a 1968 Dodge Charger RT Hemi, 1941 Willys.
That Willys was cool, man. That was a really, really clean one.
It's grabbing a bunch of votes right now. So
I know. It's really hitting right now.
Yeah. So you can get out on the Couch Potato Car Show, go to the gallery, and you can vote on your favorite car. So you can see all of these. As a matter of fact, caught up with Joe Byers. He's in Amelia, Virginia, but even had a shot from 08 of his when he was racing asphalt modifieds here in Albuquerque. So that was a 2010 Chevy Camaro. Of course, we also had, $75,000 could buy you this A12 1969 Roadrunner. And that one was out of Wisconsin.
And that's a little expensive, but you know what $25 can buy you?
Yeah, exactly. $25 can buy you a 1952 Ford Mainline. It gets you a raffle ticket. We're going to, you know, sell 1,000 of them, and then, boom, we're going to draw for it. So you got a chance. As a matter of fact, go to nmmotorsportsreport.com/win to get those tickets. And, of course, we had great representation. We had a 1950 F1 Ford pickup with that etched glass and everything. So.
That one was clean, too, yeah. Really, all 10 of the cars that we showed on Tuesday were just amazing. And I know, RJ, you had a good time over there, too, interacting with everyone.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the holiday special that we had too? Wasn't that neat?
Yep.
No, I mean, that all goes on dress. I mean, the whole host and the setup with everything, man. It really
And Kate, that. I mean, you know, Andreas, you know, I'm sure he didn't do it. You know, Kate did all the design. I mean, the set design, was absolutely phenomenal, but, looking forward to the next one. Of course, mark your calendars, January 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part of that, 2021. 2020 will be in the rearview mirror.
You know what I think we should do? I think we need to do something where we get everybody to burn their 2020 calendars in a big bonfire. I think that would really make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, we could definitely excise, you know, the bad juju.
Yeah.
You know, basically, Now we gotta make sure that we're careful about it too. Cause you imagine that, you know, we burn something down. I mean, that would be pretty bad.
That would be just 2020.
I'm like, that's still in 2020.
That would be so. That would be so 2020. We're talking a little bit about, you know, on the Unser Racing Museum event calendar, other things that have been going on. Of course, most things are not, you know, getting back going until January. But I do got to ask you, Spencer, announcement earlier this week that they're going to stay in the state of Florida, and the second race is actually going to be on the road course. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, with NASCAR there, California Speedway down there in Southern California, pretty close to L.A., of course, that's a hot spot right now with all the coronavirus that's going on. They don't expect to open that state up very much at all next year. So with that understanding, NASCAR went ahead and instead of being reactive, they were trying to be proactive with their 2021 schedule. And now after the Daytona 500, the teams are just going to stay in Florida and they're going to race the road course now the following week. And that will push back the Homestead race, for 1 week further than that. And then we get to see beautiful Homestead, Miami, Florida again. And of course, that's one of the best racetracks that NASCAR goes to.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there was talk on, Sirius earlier this week too about, Chase Elliott and being now, you know, just seen as a road course specialist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's done pretty well at other. In order to win a championship, he won five races. And, of course, if I'm not mistaken, there weren't five road courses, you know, on the series. Now
we're going to see, what, seven?
Yeah, this year.
That's a lot.
Which I'm all for that. I still don't know how in the world they would have a stock car race on a street circuit. I mean, to me, I don't necessarily want to see that.
Well, they have IndyCar. What's the difference?
Well, there's probably at least 3 foot width of the car, you know, that you have. Now, of course, I just shot from the hip, right?
I don't know about that math, but.
Oh, made it. Yeah, probably not 3 foot. But anyway, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, I think it's easier to maybe get the public out and to watch a street race.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, with the old knock on, road racing is you can't see the whole track.
Well, regardless, whether or not, you know, the conversation is street circuit or not, I'll trade every street circuit to go to some real purpose made road courses now that we're going to go to Circuit of the Americas.
Right.
That's a huge plus. Daytona's road course, that's a really nice road course. We saw some great racing, this past season with it. So I am looking forward to these updated road courses. And of course, even though we had some news this week, I don't want to overlook that we're going dirt racing in the Cup Series.
Right. Absolutely. And so that's definitely going to be something different and worth seeing. But I wanted to ask you, because we've got a lot of rookies that are coming into Cup that are coming from Xfinity. What kind of news is going moving around in Xfinity?
Well, we learned earlier this week that both Myatt Snider and Riley Herbst are going to be running full-time next season. Snider's going to be in the number two car for RCR full-time with backing by Tack Slayer. And then on the other side of it, Riley Herbst taking over the reins of Chase Briscoe's number 98 for Stuart Haas Racing with Monster backing. So those are two up-and-coming drivers that saw a little bit of success in 2020, and eyes are going to be on them to see what they can do. Again, you want to look at the probable favorite that's going into next season, Austin Cindric. He's going to be back at the number 22 car with Penske. So you have a lot of movement and shaking going on right now in Xfinity Series, and I'm looking forward. Another one that I don't think we've talked about because it came a little later in the week was Colic Racing announced their lineup. Jeb Burton, Justin Haley, and now AJ Allmendinger is going to go full-time next season. Three full-time cars for Colic Racing, and keep an eye on AJ Allmendinger. We have seen him do very, very well on road courses, and he picked up his first win on an oval in 2020. So look for him to be a favorite with the heavily road course scaled schedule that we have coming up in 2021. But yeah, I would say I'm probably most excited about the Xfinity Series as we move forward.
Well, and you talk about Allmendinger. Oh, what a great run at the Brickyard. I mean, the road course on the Brickyard, and of course, Cindric came away with that victory, but what a run. And actually, that's where I thought I started seeing Cindric develop as a driver. I mean, he just really got more aggressive. But a lot of cool things. And, of course, we'll keep you posted on all the latest news, including news from you going to the shootout. And we'll be able to get some really cool interviews with that. But do invite you to go check us out on Facebook, Check out, you know, NM Motorsports Report on Facebook, as well as, the Couch Potato Car Show. Of course, you can get to all of that on our website, nmmotorsportsreport.com. Just talk to, John Haverland. He's going to go to the 24 Hours Daytona. So we're going to, you know, right off the bat, we're going to get some good coverage there. But, we have it all for you every Saturday right here on ESPN Radio 101.7.
The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Your Wood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate, here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Join us daily at nmmotorsportsreport.com and become part of the community. Tune in next week, where your host David Swope will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.